the living word of God pierced my heart. I was 6 years old when my father left our family. And I didn't see him again until his funeral 10 years later. That's how Robert DiNardo began his testimony. Robert went on to say that he said my mom and the dad she lived and the man she lived with were both alcoholics. And most of my childhood weekends were spent in the bars and local taverns in the community where I grew up. He said many times my mom would be beaten unmercifully, and my brother and I would be forced to watch that. He said my life was a living hell with no demonstrations of love or even words of encouragement. He said my older brother Kenny began drinking and began beating me up when I was about 9 years old. He would chase me with a butcher knife. And the only way I would escape is he would just get so tired that he would just fall out. Robert said, I was full of hate and I was full of anger. He said, I remember standing over Ken and my mom one day with a shotgun with the intent of killing them both. But I didn't do that. He said, in my 20s, I decided to join the U.S. Air Force. And doing basic training in San Antonio, Texas, he said, I received the Gideon New Testament. He said, I paid little attention to that testament. I didn't pay very much attention to it, but I did start carrying it with me. He said, but, you know, I began working with a faithful Christian guy by the name of Dan. Now, Dan would witness to me, but Robert said, but Dan would never put any pressure on me to make any kind of decision. Then he asked me if I had a Bible. And one day, I reached in my desk drawer and pulled out that Gideon testament that I received when I entered into the armed forces. He said, I began reading that little book. And Robert says, you know what? As full of hate as I was, it's hard to imagine, but I remember sitting down at my desk, reading that testament. And I was weeping as I was reading the Gospels and what Christ did for me. He said, I kept thinking, why are they treating Jesus that way? I mean, can't they see how wonderful he is? And then Robert said this. Robert said this exposure to the living word of God pierced my heart, and I realized my need of a Savior. And Robert said, short time after that, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He was married. He said, eventually, my wife, seeing the change in my life, received the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And Robert ended his testimony by saying, I have now been serving the Lord for the past 20 years as an ordained minister of the gospel. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? It is to God be the glory. It is to God be the glory. You know what, church? If you've had a Gideon speaking, and I know you have, because I just want to start right now to thank Oakwood Bible Church. And for pastor, I know it's not easy to give up your pulpit time. I'm really humbled that you would have me come back to speak. I want to thank you on behalf of Robert DiNardo and the thousands and thousands of souls who've had their lives impacted, not through Gideons, but through the word of God. You know, we're here not to lift up the Gideons. We're here to lift up Jesus Christ. He is the only one that needs to be lifted up. We're simply his errand boys. We take the word of God in partnership with local churches around the world like yours into the traffic lanes of human natural life. You know why? Because the sad reality is, as I've just been so blessed in this service this morning with the wonderful music, with everything that's taken place, and I know you have been blessed as well, but do you not understand that the vast majority of the population is not in anybody's church this morning? They're not in anybody's church. They should be, but they're not. And that's why we take the precious word of God out there in the traffic lanes of life so that God can impact their lives as they come in contact with his word. That's why we do what we do. So as you have had Gideon speakers come in from time to time, I mean, there are some things that you will probably hear time and time again, no matter who the speaker is. And one of those things that you will hear is that our reason for existing as a ministry, our reason for existing is to assist the local church, churches here in Kalamazoo, churches in Michigan, churches from around the world, to assist the church in carrying out our number one objective as a ministry, and that is to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you hear many Gideon speakers at some point during that message, in some way or another, they'll say that. So there are some things that you will hear time and time again. One of the other things that you probably hear is that as a ministry, we are a missionary extension of a local church. We're a missionary extension of your church. We really are. And the reason why you hear that over and over again, because it really is true. It really is. I mean, we don't even consider ourselves as a parachurch organization. And why do I say that? Because as Gideons, as Gideons and auxiliary members, we are members of the church. As a matter of fact, we cannot be Gideons unless we are members in good standing with our local church. We also cannot be Gideons unless we have the personal recommendation of our pastor to be involved in this ministry. I am so convinced that that's one of the reasons, pastors, why God has blessed the ministry down through these 113 years is because we know our place as a ministry. You know, God never said, upon this rock I'll build Gideons. Never said that nowhere in his word. But he did say, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. We know our place. We're not in competition with the church. We come from the church. We are members of the church. So we're not a parachurch organization. We are members of the church. As a matter of fact, our pastors control our membership, because without their recommendation, we could not be pastors. So that's one of the reasons that I believe that God has blessed us the way he has. You know, and as members of the church, we're just simply doing what God has commanded us to do. We're also doing what our pastors have discipled us to do, and that is to go out and to take the gospel message to our communities, throughout our state, and throughout around the world. Now, as a ministry, we do that through our personal witness, because as we go, God gives us the opportunity to witness, and we take advantage of that. But we also do that through the placement and the distribution of the Word of God throughout 194 countries around the world in 93 different languages. I just want you to know the extent of the ministry that you support. Because every time you take a breath, two copies of God's word go out to somebody, somewhere in this world, from a Gideon or an auxiliary member. That's the extent of the ministry you support. I just want you to know that as you support this ministry, it really is not a waste of your time and your resources to do so. You know, a fellow Gideon brother of mine, Brother Dan Parker, in our Midland camp, was inspired recently to write a paragraph for our Gideon newsletter. And when I read what he wrote, I was just really blessed, because as I read that, I just knew that it was an inspired statement. And here's what he did. He entitled it, Each Hotel Bible, a Soldier. And here's what he wrote. He said that the saved children of God are often compared to soldiers in an army. In a similar way, the Bibles we place in our hotel rooms are like soldiers on duty 24 hours a day. They wait in their little bunkers, the nightstands, for the incoming. However, in this case, incoming means a hand reaching into the nightstand drawer. The hand may belong to someone who needs encouragement, someone who is just curious, someone who is bored and is looking for something to read. But the most important hand is that of someone who is lost and will find salvation from this book. We pray for each scripture soldier that we have placed on duty in our local hotels. Praise God. You know, I was inspired by that. You know, that, and that's not just some paragraph. That really is true. That really is true. Because not long ago, we found a letter that was in one of our Bibles that we had placed in one of the hotels in New Orleans, Louisiana. So shortly after Hurricane Katrina. And here's what the letter said. It said, to all who look through this Bible, I was an atheist. I believed only in myself. But I now realize that what I had done was to create a God of my own imagination. One that would allow me unlimited freedom with no restriction. A God of materialism, lust, gain, and pleasure. This was the God that I worship, even though I claim to believe in no God. I was challenged to read this book, and I accepted with the spirit of disproving all of the silly superstitions therein. And then it said, alas, what a mistake. Instead, I was drawn by the truth contained here. The life portrayed within these pages exposed me. I was running from God, determined not to be caught. Yet he ran me into a corner where he gently opened my eyes and made a blind man see. I recognized my sinful state, repented openly, and asked Jesus Christ to take over my life. Praise God. You know, the last five words that he included in his letter was, "This book is the answer." Praise God. You know that atheist checked into the motel room? He wasn't looking for Jesus, but praise God, Jesus was looking for him that night. He was able to find the law because the word of God was in place when he checked into that motel room. You know, the almost 7 billion people that exist on the face of the earth today, research tells us that over 2 billion of those people are young people under the age of 15 years of age. And even though as a minister, we are best known for putting Bibles in motel rooms. I mean, if you ask most people about the getting, they'll tell you, yeah, that's the group that put those Bibles in motel rooms. And we do put Bibles in motels. But I want you to know that our ministry is far more extensive than just that. As a matter of fact, the Gideon ministry can be considered an effective youth ministry. And the reason for that is because 84% of all of the scriptures that we place are testaments that we give to young people. 84% of all of the scriptures that we place are testaments that we put into the hands of young people. Of the almost 1.6 billion scriptures that we placed last fiscal year, almost 1.3 billion of those scriptures went into the hands of a young person. 1.3 billion. So as I mentioned before, the Gideon ministry can be considered as an effective youth ministry. But you know what? I heard it said once that someone said that, you know, it's a waste of time for Gideons to put Bibles in motels. It's a waste of time for Gideon to put these Bibles where they distribute them. And when I first heard that, boy, it really made me angry. Then I thought, you know what? That deserves an answer. I mean, I thought about the fact that we come to our churches, many churches like you, once a year. Every year you have us come in and you share your pulpit time and you give your resources to this ministry. You have a right to know the answer to that question. I mean, is it really a waste of time for Gideons to put Bibles in motels? I mean, is it really an effective strategy for us to take the love gifts that you give to this ministry and to take that money and buy Bibles and put them in motels and hotels and hospital rooms, or to stand on the campus of Kalamazoo or Western Michigan and offer a student a testament? Is that really a waste of time? I mean, can the word of God itself really make that kind of difference in the world? Now, Oakwood Bible, I could answer that question for you from my perspective. But I want to allow Martha Hawkins from Montgomery, Alabama, to answer that question from her perspective. But as I click my clicker, she's not coming up. So I'm going to answer that question for Martha Hawkins. Martha Hawkins, at an early part of her life, she was married. She had five kids. And she was so depressed about her life circumstances, she ended up in a mental hospital, Greer Hospital, down in Alabama. And her opportunity, her desire, was to commit suicide. She was tired of living. She was tired of living. As a matter of fact, her purpose was to commit suicide. But she ended up in Greer Hospital. And guess what? As Gideons, in partnership with churches like yours, we put Bibles in hospitals. And during her stay in that hospital, she got a hold to God's word and began to read. And as she was reading that Bible, God changed her perspective and changed her life. And Martha Hawkins gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. See, her purpose was to take her life. But because she come in contact with the word of God, God gave her new life in Jesus Christ. That's, you know what, that's really what we're all about as a ministry. That's what we are all about as a ministry. It's not about Sterling. It's not even about the Gideons. We're just simply your errand boys to take the word of God out into those various areas of the world. But it is God through the power of his Holy Spirit who changes lives. And I just want you to know that. I mean, if Martha Hawkins was here this morning, she would thank you herself. She's a precious woman of God. As a matter of fact, we've had in Michigan. And my wife and I still keep in contact with Martha Hawkins from time to time. But if she were here this morning, she would personally thank you for what the Gideons had meant to her life. Because she was planning on committing suicide. But God, through the power of his word, changed her life around. She is a wonderful woman of God today, who goes all around the country giving her personal testimony so she can encourage others as to what God is doing through the Gideon ministry. Where would I be? That was a question that Kara Harrison posed as she shared her personal testimony with us in Midland several years ago. Kara went on to say this. Kara said that I was raised in a conservative Jewish home. She said, I knew God. I feared him. I knew the Old Testament stories. Kara said, you know what? I knew. I understood that he was God Almighty. But Kara says, I did not understand him as my Lord and Savior. She said, I went to the synagogues. I looked for answers to the questions I had in life. And one of the key questions that I had in my life, Kara said, was she could not understand why she was so lonely. She said, I attended Hebrew school. I knew all the rules and I knew all the regulations, but I didn't have Jesus in my life. And then she said, I used to think that I was more powerful and I was better than all of the Gentiles because I was Jewish and that I had God. She said, as a teenager, I moved to Southfield, Michigan. And then I began meeting some of those quote unquote Gentile Christians. She said, I was going through some very confusing times in my life. I was very sad. I was lonely. She said, I was even desperate. I started drinking, trying to kill the pain and the hurt and the loneliness that I had in my life. However, that didn't do any good. Made me feel lonely for a short period of time, but when I got sober, the problems were still there. She said, I was searching for something in my life that made sense. But at 21, I met my husband, Ken, she said. He was a wonderful guy. And I thought that this is my saving grace. He is my saving grace. But then she said, I was so frustrated with Ken. I would say to him, why can't you love me enough? Well, Ken and Carol owned a printing business in the Detroit area. They would do a lot of work for the doctors and the physicians' offices in that area. And Carol said that one day I walked into a doctor's office. I had an appointment. And the only two things that was sitting by the desk where I was about to sit, she said, one was a prevention magazine, and the other one was a Gideon Bible. She said, so I was in such a search in my life, I decided I'd pick up the Gideon Bible. And as a Jew, as a conservative Jew, we read and knew the Old Testament, but we never looked at the New Testament. As a matter of fact, she said, if my father would know that I was even thinking about looking into the New Testament, he would be livid. And Carol says, because of that, I decided I was opening up the New Testament. That's where she was in life, a rebellious young person. Carol said, as I opened up that Bible, she said, I think I'll open it up toward John or something. But as she opened up that Bible, God stopped those pages in the book of Matthew. And Carol said that when I read these words in the book of Matthew, which says, and the Jews said, crucify him, crucify him. Kara says, I've never heard that before in my life. She said, I had such, from reading that one sentence, I had such an insatiable desire to read more of that Bible. She said, I don't even know what I talked to the doctor about that day. All I knew was when I got out of that appointment, I needed a Bible. So she called one of her friends who was a Christian. She said, look, you got to get me a Bible. And the friend says, Carol, I only have my personal Bible, and I just cannot give you that. But I do have a Gideon Testament that I received when I was in college. I'll let you have that. Carol said, I took that Bible, and I took it home. And I began reading that Testament. She said, I began to read that Testament. She said, I would even wake up in the middle of the night reading from that Bible. And then, church, she said something that really touched my heart. She says, and with every page that I read, it was like a scale falling off my back. She said, it was the most amazing revelation to me that what I lacked in life was knowing the love of God. She said, I knew the fear of God. I knew He was God Almighty, but I did not know the love of God. She said, everything that Jesus said to me through the pages of that Bible, that word, I just wanted to have in my life. Carol then asked her husband, Ken. She said, Ken, would you go to church with me? I need to learn all I can about this Jesus. So he agreed. So they started going to church. And God transformed Carol Harrison's life. And not only that, but to transform the life of her family. You know, Carol started drinking, trying to drink away her problems. She said when she began to get into the Word of God, that God took the alcohol away from her and she quit drinking instantly, cold turkey. And Carol went on to say this. Carol says it was through that encounter with the Lord, through that Bible in that doctor's office, that God eventually saved me, He saved my husband, and He saved my two sons. And then Carol says, but you know what? It didn't stop there. Because my mom and my dad and my brother have also given their lives to Jesus Christ. Praise God. That is to God be the glory. And Carol ended her testimony with us with these words. She says, you know, it scares me to think. Where would I be if that Bible had not been in that doctor's office that afternoon? She said, it scares me to think, where would I be if that Bible had not been there? But Oakwood Bible, I just want to say to you that because of the partnership that God has put together of the Gideon Ministry and the local church, that Bible was there when Carol Harrison checked into that doctor's office. And because of it, Carol Harrison, that conservative Jew who thought that she was better than all the Gentiles, is now part of the family of God this morning. That is to God be the glory. You know, you headed up in one of your scripture readings as that wonderful song, the Word of God speaks. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharp and any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You know, the blessing is that as we serve in this ministry, we have the assurance that what we do in this ministry can never be done in vain. And you as a church and churches from around the world have the assurance that your support of this ministry will never be done in vain. And that is because of the promise that God has given to us in Isaiah 55 verse 11. When the Bible says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper unto the things whereto I sent it. God made that promise. So when we put a Bible in a motel room, we can trust God and take him at his promise. When we put a Bible in a hospital room, even if it's a mental hospital room, we can trust God and take him at his promise. When we put a Bible in a prison cell, when we stand on a college campus and give it to a student, we can trust God and take him at his promise that his word would not return unto him. So praise God. I just want you to know, that's why we do the Gideon Ministry. Why do we even have a Gideon Ministry? Why is it even worth your time to support a ministry like Gideon's? Because there are over 4 billion souls in the world today who still do not know Jesus Christ like you and I know him this morning. And it's in partnership with the local churches from around the world that we place God's word in the traffic lanes of life, and God uses his word to impact souls for him. That's why we do what we do. And I just want to thank you for your support of the Gideon Ministry. I just want you to know that your support has truly made the difference in the lives of real people. And on behalf of all of those souls from around the world who's had their lives touched and impacted, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the financial gifts that you give to this ministry. And we commit to you that every cent that you give to this ministry, we will not take one cent of it for any overhead in this ministry. We do that all ourselves. So every cent that you give goes for the purchase and the placement of the Word of God. So thank you on behalf of the many souls who know Jesus Christ this morning as a result of his word being out in the traffic lanes of life. Thank you for the part you play. You know, it'll be very appropriate for you to put on your marquee, if you chose to, that you support missionaries in 194 countries around the world, because you really do, as you support this ministry. And you're getting the word of God in the traffic lanes of life to people who otherwise would not have the opportunity to know him as Savior. So thank you for what you do. I'm very humbled and honored that you would have me come back to speak to you. And as I, the last time I was here, I shared with you of a testimony of an African boy who sent a letter to Giddings International saying, I would love to have a Bible, but if you can't send me a whole Bible, could you send me one page? Just touched my heart when I heard that. Well, I heard another testimony from an African boy that was actually before then. He wrote a letter and says, Dear sir, could you send me a Bible? So, dear sir, I worked a whole month. You know, many of those African countries, they make less than $1 per day. They live on less than $1 per day. This African boy said, I worked a whole month to make enough money to buy this air postage stamp. Please, sir, send me Holy Bible. Testimonies like that make me get up and drive to Oakwood Bible from Midland and not think about it. I got a Bible in every room of my house, praise God. I got Bibles in my car. I got a smartphone that's got 100 translations of scriptures on it. And I have to ask myself the question, do I take God's word for granted? Here's one African boy says, I would love to have a whole Bible, but if you can't send me a whole one, could you please send me one page? Then another one says, I worked a whole month to make enough money to buy the air postage stamp. And he sent that letter off in faith. Says, could you please send me a Bible? I want you to know that both of those young men received their Bible. But as a minister, we operate at 66%. That means for every three hands that reach out for a copy of the Word of God, right now we can only put a Bible in two of those hands. And that's why we do what we do. We want to put a Bible in every hand that reach out for a copy of the Word of God. And we thank you for the part you play in helping us do that. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you very much for letting me come. Okay. God bless you, man.
As our ushers prepare, just to remind you of two things. Number one, remember that with these offerings, 100% of your gift goes to the distribution of Bibles. Everyone who works for the Giddings volunteers their time, so that's a good thing to know. The second thing is we always have a display. There's one at each entrance in the foyer here and also as you come in the Family Life Center, where at any time if you want to send a card to someone and purchased five Gideon Bibles in honor or in memory of someone, those cards are available for you to use at any time, so you may do so. Thank you, Karen, for coming to the piano. I had sitting there thinking I forgot all about an offertory song. So, ushers, if you'll come forward, and we'll receive the offerings, and then I'll close with a word of benediction.